Hour number three, Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. Hope you're having a wonderful day so far, as we are. Continuing the discussion, and by the way, Cam Ward supposed to address the media shortly, so we will bring that to you as the 0-2 Titans, who we've talked about, not obviously not going great right now, but we will hear from the quarterback here in a few minutes.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, it's get all that. But this is a good conversation. You know, we're talking about kids living up to the dad's legacy.
And it all stems from
Arch Manning.
Arch Manning, yeah.
And dealing with the family's name, and Arch is not very good. But one name, and thank you guys on the text line. You guys are wonderful all the time, 615-737-1025. But one came through, and it was Tiger Woods' son.
Yeah.
Who's also taken up golf.
And look, I will be the first to admit, like, watching him in some of those pro-ams that he's played, like, his swing looks just like Tiger's did back when he was younger, and, you know, the mannerisms, and it's like, I can't wait. I can't wait to see what he can do.
But, right.
But again, that's unfair to him.
You yeah. know,
that we're putting that kind of pressure on him.
But I'm not. I didn't do jack for him. I mean, he's the one. That's your dad.
Right.
I mean, it's your dad. I mean, that's the one you got to – people are going to invariably compare you to and all that. And you got to chart your course. It's going to happen indirectly. Just not like we seek it out. That's going to happen. That's why I brought up Pete Rose Jr. earlier. I mean, how do you live to that? Any junior, right? Dale Jr., Pete Rose Jr., Ken Griffey Jr. You know, the name is synonymous with success. And, man, that's, you know, it's
By
a lot.
Way- I do want to pass along Dan Orlovsky from ESPN is going to be joining DVD today at 3:20. So looking forward to having Dan on the show, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Let's go to the phones. Bob wants to weigh in on our conversation. Bob, what's up?
Hey, guys. Y'all talking about families and trying to live up to your parents?
Yep.
What about Marvin Harrison Jr.?
Yeah, that's a good one.
But I think that's a good point, Bob. Don't go anywhere, Bob.
Bob,
damn it. I think that I think that's okay, because I think there it's, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. is now with Arizona, right? Is that where he is?
Yep.
And he's doing well. And he's doing well, so that's not bad. And his dad was really, really good. I think some cases it works out okay. I think that's working out okay, because his dad's kind of out of the spotlight.
Yeah.
Not hanging around. And then so I think Marvin Harrison Jr. is a hell of a receiver.
He is. He's good. But I think you have people that go, yeah, but he's not to the level his dad was. Mm-hmm. And here's the other thing. Let's not forget a slight detail. Marvin Harrison Sr., Hall of Fame receiver, great receiver.
Yeah.
He also had Peyton Manning throwing him the ball, and Marvin Jr. has
Kyler Murray throwing the ball to him. I said, if Kyler Murray was any bit of 5 foot tall, he'd be just a good quarterback, but he's just 4 foot seven, doesn't get the job done.
Put him around your pocket.
Just put him in your pocket, take him to the next. First down, make somebody pick up Kyler Murray and put him in your pocket. I think that, but that's good. I mean, he's making his way. I don't mind that one. I really don't.
Yeah, no, that's a good one. 2518, you could say Ric Flair and his daughter Charlotte. His son had a drug overdose in Japan because of the pressure to be as good as his dad. Reed Flair did have a lot of issues, and I think some of that was obviously related to
– Don't hate me.
Your Ric Flair son.
I just wrestling doesn't compare in this.
It's different.
Yeah.
It's different.
It's great. It's still a showman all that.
It's different.
It's just not to that level of
– Charlotte, I mean, I think Charlotte has very much lived up to –
You know, you might weigh on this. Doesn't Dennis Rodman's daughter, isn't she like one of the best women's soccer players in the world?
Yeah, Trinity Rodman. She plays somewhere in the U.S. now. She was playing overseas, but yeah, she's really good. I don't think she has any affiliation with her father anymore.
Yeah,
but
something like that. But, I mean, it's different. It's good for her maybe that it's a completely different sport, and I think she's really, really, really good and all that. So, yeah.
I remember having a conversation with Derek one time about, you know, does DJ play football? Does he want to play football? And Derek was very, very quick to say, like, if he wants to, I support him. If he doesn't want to, I support him. Like, he doesn't have to play because I did.
Yep.
You know, and I've met a lot of, you know, in this career, we've met a lot of people that played at a high level whatever sport, but they're the same way. Like, just because I did it, they can go do their own thing.
Well, I think sometimes it has to do with, like Bruce Matthews' son, Jake, he's in like his 13th year in the NFL, is a great lineman.
He's probably a Hall of Famer.
Great lineman for the Falcons. Great lineman. But I think sometimes the position.
Is his brother with the Eagles?
He was a long time ago. Is he?
I think there's still a Matthews with the – I could be wrong.
Oh, I think he was cut. But again, some, you know, don't seek the spotlight, different position. You could do that, and it's okay. But some of those individual things, like the Sanders, like Shiloh, same position, sometimes it doesn't work in your favor to go that way. But the ones we talked about, the big ones, Pete Rose Jr., Dale Earnhardt Jr., and those guys, I mean, it's something to live up to. I mean, when your father – is elite in that sport. Like, I always feel bad, like, if you're a Marino's kid or Elway's kid, the great quarterbacks in the league. Thank goodness Joe Namath only had a daughter, not a son. The pressure of doing that all right there. But it all comes back to the Arch Manning thing, how our conversation started, that some folks are afraid to criticize Arch Manning because of who his uncles are.
Yeah.
And maybe that, I can't do that because Peyton will get mad at me. Arch is just not good. And that's okay to accept that. Maybe he gets better, but right now he's average.
Was Clay Matthews Jr. on the Bears?
Is that the one that played for the Packers for a long time?
No, Clay the third played for the Packers.
Clay Matthews was with the Browns, I think, his entire career. Like 19 years with the Browns.
Well, there's senior and then there's junior that's, I think, Bruce's brother.
Yes.
Did he play for the Bears? Because there's a picture, it looks like he's in a Bears uniform.
Did their dad play for him?
Clay Sr. played for the 49ers. Clay Jr. played for the – okay, you're right. It's a Falcons uniform. He played for the Browns and the Falcons.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Yeah. So those
– I apologize.
Those are things you got to – man, my dad was Archie Manning, man. I'm not going to go to Ole Miss. I'm going to forge my way up in Knoxville, you know what I'm saying?
Do we think Marshall goes to UT?
Of course he does. You know, if he's smart, no.
I wouldn't.
That's why
– I'd stay away from Ole Miss. I'd stay away from Tennessee, and I'd stay away from Texas.
Right. Peyton going to Tennessee was brilliant.
Go to Boise State.
Plus, right? So if Peyton went to Knoxville, there was no quarterback.
Yeah.
You had Jerry Colquitt coming to his fifth year, but there really wasn't an established quarterback there. And Peyton got lucky. I mean, he was good at Tennessee, and he got with the right offense and David Cutcliffe. Everything worked out well. But you didn't have to go to Ole Miss and live up to your dad's name.
Kevin in Florida. I'm detecting that Big Joe doesn't like Peyton Manning very much.
Oh, man. Let me tell you something, Big Joe, one time. I had to do an event with him about 3 years ago. The guy was really good. And I was like, hey, man. And I said, maybe after this we'll go and have some beers. And he said, sure. And I said, nope. And I left. It's kind of how it worked out.
Yep.
Oh, I love Peyton. I think he's great. Love him. A lot of fun.
I can tell. Kirk Herbstreit.
Now, Herbstreit and I have a beef. That's – I've told it before. I'm not going to tell it again.
Here's the thing. I really want to have him on the show.
Okay.
Because he does like one interview with his station every 8 years or something like
sure.
that. And we're due. So I would love to have him on. But like, I need to know that it's not going to become a thing.
Because that's private between Kirk and I.
Okay.
So I wouldn't bring it up.
Now, if he brings it up, I don't care. But,
sure.
You know.
I have no problem. And one day on the podcast, I'll tell the story. But I've told it before. I'm not going to tell it again. But Pat McAfee has me blocked on Twitter, which makes me laugh because I think he's very soft. Talks a big game, but he's soft.
Yeah, there's some of that.
Yep, big time.
Anyway, Cam Ward will spit. I don't know where to go from that. But
sorry, man.
Cam Ward. Coming up next, more of Big Joe's bleep list. We'll tell you some of that. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. We've had a great show so far, and I'm sure it'll be repeated later on. You can check that out on the internet. Cam Ward coming up in a few minutes. We're monitoring, so whenever he walks up to the podium, we will let you know.
Love it. Thank you for playing this. We saw him a month ago at Ascend. Christopher Cross, when he sang this song, it was a spiritual experience.
We did. Chasing Big Joe. Hey, who is that? Where's that? I got another voices in my head.
Usually it's you doing that.
99% of the time it's me doing that. Yeah. So anyway, thank you for that. Yacht Rock, man. Way to go.
That was good. That was good stuff.
What do you want to hear from Cam?
That's a really good question. I kind of want to know what it's been like going into that first week compared to now going into week three. Like,
okay.
How much has that slowed down for him? You know, does it feel the same? Is it now becoming more routine? Like, what's kind of the thought process he's going through as a quarterback?
I hope he gets asked about the Hunter comment.
Yeah.
Like, are you giving up the easy pass to strike the kill?
Find the big play.
To find the big bear down the field, the big kill. I mean, and I don't mind that. Look, Brett Favre did that.
Sure. I don't mind it either. But I'm going to use my favorite analogy.
I'm hungry.
Singles win ball games too.
That's right.
Now, if the pitcher puts it right down the middle, then hell yeah, you swing for the fences. And if you miss it, you miss it. But whoa, like if they throw you, what's the old saying? Like if he hang it, I bang it, or something like that. I mean that.
Good Lord, this is a family show.
Not like that. Damn it.
How in the world? Where is your mom listening?
No, she's teaching. I hope Dr.
not.
Crane just left. Like he just left.
I don't blame him. This
you know
is
what I'm trying
unacceptable.
To say.
I think, and I forgot, I had actually a good point. I forgot I was going. What were we talking about?
I was trying to make a baseball analogy.
Derek Mason earlier talked about the Nevada game, which we saw. Nevada was giving them singles up and down the field.
Yeah.
And MTSU hit singles up and down the field, and they scored on them. Got the ball back again. Nevada runs the same zone coverage. Nick Vadiato starts tossing singles, and you score again. So I'm with you. It could happen. But, man, sometimes you take that. You feel it, and you got it. The old Holmgren, don't do it again. Well, nice pass. You know, don't do it again.
But,
great pass.
But you do it again. But I do think he does need to learn the big play isn't always there.
Right.
You can't always hit a home run. Sometimes you're going to hit a single or a double or a triple. But that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Like, you know, if you're looking and you're trying to find Ridley wide open, he's not going to catch it anyway. But if you try and find him wide open and he's not, and Chig or Pollard or whatever is right here and going to get you – you know, two or three yards, then take it.
Yeah.
It's positive.
Do you know, and I'm looking now, I'm thinking about Mariota and all the quarterbacks have been through here. You know, it's the 20th season when Vince Young was drafted, the 06 season. And that's 20 years. I see you laughing over there, so I'm getting comments are coming in over your potty mouth.
I walked back in the studio because I thought, you know.
You had to, I mean, you're not a quitter. Yeah, you're not a quitter. You had to come back in and do that because – it's a job to do. I'm sorry, Dr.
It's an obligation.
I'm sorry, Dr. Graham. I mean, it is a family show. We understand that.
Is it, though?
Parts. Most part.
I mean.
Sometimes a little bit embarrassing.
A little bit.
Catalina wine mixer.
That's right. Don't you ever forget. Yeah. Makes people come together.
There's so many things I want to say, but I'm just biting my tongue. My tongue's bleeding right now.
Don't do it.
It's okay.
So, yeah, I mean, I think I'm really excited what we see out of Cam, despite drop passes, Dan Moore playing the role of a Walmart greeter. I think all those are great. With Cam, I mean, he's going through the fire right now, man. It, again, not to go back to the Cowboys documentary, but I found it fascinating. I've never heard Aikman talk about the 1989 season.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, we are so good. We got Michael Irvin. We got Aikman. We got Herschel Walker. And then Aikman says, it was the worst year of my life because he got beat. But he said, I learned so much from that one year that made me the quarterback to who I was. Yes.
Kevin says, please send Potty Mouth Chase home. I'll send myself home. The thing about that was so interesting to me was like – because I was young, I don't remember Tom Landry. I just know stories and everything. But, you know, they just made him seem so old. It wasn't he like 65
something
or 60?
Like he was out there. But they had three straight losing seasons.
Yeah, right. I mean, like, I can
You know what part I laughed about? And I'm telling you, I had a bad image of Michael Irvin before, yeah. But watching this, you
actually have a better, yeah.
Right.
And wait until you get to like his stuff.
And he said that he was at Miami with Jimmy Johnson, gives this, you know, this roaring speech before the game and go out and do this. Then he says, we got to the Cowboys and Landry's like, hey, go out and play well today and let's get a win. And he's like, that's it?
Yeah.
I'm not getting cussed at. I'm not getting yelled at. That's it. And then, you know, he said he had a list of players that he gave to Jimmy Johnson. He's like, these guys need to go. They don't want to win. I was like, yeah, I like it, man. It's all about winning, and that's it.
Let the mind control the body.
Right?
Not the body control the mind.
So good,
that's
man.
That's one of my favorite Jimmy Johnson
and
quotes.
I'm not a Cowboys fan. I just like the behind-the-scenes access they got. It was great, man.
I'm telling you, when you finish this, this might be your favorite football documentary.
Because
this is the stuff that you love.
Yeah, and I'm my value of Jerry Jones in all this is great. He's human.
He is, but he's still.
I get it, but he's still human in this. And that's really like, all right, I didn't know this and know that, but I mean, it's just so well done.
He loves the Cowboys.
He does.
He loves the Cowboys. Is Cam up yet? Let's go ahead and we'll step away and then see if Cam comes to the podium. We'll air that for you coming up next. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. On this Wednesday, we'll have Cam Ward addressing the media here in a few minutes. What do you want to hear him say?
About the mentality of going for it, of why is that his nature to get the big play, to want the big play.
Yeah.
And how – ask if they feel like he's now the voice of this team. I mean, I just want to see – I think he is. I think he's shown in two games. I think
– Well, they're putting the old voice in the –
They are, right?
Honor on Sunday.
I think Cam is of the mold, and this is why I like him. I think he hates losing.
Yeah.
I think he really hates losing, and losing is contagious. And when people buy into losing, it's not good, and he hates losing, and I like that for a quarterback. And, you know, you had a good question about, you know, are you seeing things differently now? What's happening? They're attacking you from different ways. You're used to that. And just keeping his spirit up, man. First two games, his stats aren't great, but he's still hanging in there.
Teron Davenport has put his post-practice stuff out, followed by a bunch of videos, so hang on. Practice update for Wednesday. No sign of Legarius Sneed back, his back, not the knee. J.C. Latham, Tavondre Sweat, Bryce Oliver, Kevin Zeitler, Sweat and Tajay Spears worked on the side field. So there you go. That's really the update from TD so far.
Yeah, I'm nothing. I mean, it's a Wednesday, right? I mean, so it's
kind of the ramp up day.
Yeah, see what's happening. I mean, what's going on? If you know what I'm saying. But yeah, I'd like to hear just maybe Cam will show up on time and like his head coach, who didn't earlier.
Doesn't look like well, and then earlier the head coach went early.
Wait, right. I'll be there when I get there. Okay.
What time do you want to start, Coach? I don't know.
Yeah, whatever time you got, man, we'll do all that. As we do a holding pattern, I want to bring this up to you real quick, Chase. I've held this on for a while, which has made me laugh. And it is the strangest team each SEC team has ever played. The strangest team that each SEC team has played and that it's counted. In 1890, Vanderbilt football played the Vanderbilt graduating class. In 1890. They counted.
That is strange.
In 1906, the Oklahoma football team played the town of Sulphur, Oklahoma, and it counted in a game. Some more. 1904, Texas A&M played the Texas School for the Deaf. Texas did it in 1903. Tennessee in 1905 played the Tennessee School for the Deaf. Alabama in 1917.
Hang on. All right. I'm going to ask this
sure.
in a sensitive way.
Right.
How does that work?
That's a great question.
Because, like, I know in because Jeff Fisher told us a story about bringing in a deaf team for practice one day. And, you know, they can't hear whistles and everything is on what they can see and
yeah.
signs and
yep.
and stuff like that. So, like, I get it if you're if you got the same, you know, disorder as a as who you're playing, but like, I'm curious of that. And if you tell me,
isn't there a school in D.C., Gallaudet? I think it's a school for the deaf, and they play football too. And maybe it's something.
And that's great. Like, that's great, but I mean, like, playing against a regular like Tennessee or whatever,
it's kind
like,
of unfair. But I'm telling you, Oklahoma played the town of Sulphur, Oklahoma. Could you imagine?
Hey, Jerry, you're going to be quarterback. Hey, Daryl, can you play linebacker?
I mean, what if Vanderbilt wanted to take on Rayon City?
You and they couldn't stop you and Mike Orton.
They couldn't. That's just funny. South Carolina played the Augusta.
Now, which Gaines brother?
All of them.
Okay. I mean, what side are they on?
Oh, that's a good question. Well, only two played at Vandy, Chris and Greg. Chris and Brad. So they have to make a decision.
They got to pick a side.
South Carolina played the Augusta YMCA. Ole Miss played Havana University in 1921. Alabama played the Second Ambulance Company of Ohio in 1917. And then here's a game that Joe Rexroad could have competed in. Florida, 1912, played the Vedado Tennis Club of Cuba. They could have won that.
These are all scores of any of these?
No, but it says the strangest team each SEC school has played. This made me laugh.
Oh, man.
We're still waiting.
We're on a bit of a four-corner
stall. Also, the most unique – this is our boys over at Six Pack Coverage in Brentwood. We love the boys at Six Pack Coverage. Listen every day. Thank you, guys. Andrew, we love you, man. Appreciate you listening. The most unique course offered at every SEC school. Vanderbilt, they have a class on country music. South Carolina, history of the devil. Oklahoma, American gangster. Auburn
I would like that.
Has a class called Introduction to the Pistol.
Okay.
A&M has a class called Texas Barbecue.
Nice.
Arkansas, History of Football. Okay. These are actual classes. Georgia, Waffle House Geography. Isn't there something with Waffle House and the Weather Channel? Like when a Waffle House closes... Like, they never close.
Yeah.
And there's just some tie-in with the Weather Channel that if a Waffle House closes, the weather's, like, really, really, really bad. That's what I'm told. All right? Alabama has a class called Drugs, Booze, and the Mexican Society.
Okay.
Mississippi State. Dr. Crane, you could have taken this had you gone to Mississippi State. Music of the Beatles. How nice. Boring is
I
that?
I took that in high school, actually.
Did you?
I did. Mr. Purrier.
I would like that.
At Ryan, you had that?
I did. Yeah, nice. For a whole semester.
Mr. Purry?
Purrier. Matt Purrier. Great teacher.
All right, Missouri, for all you nerds, they have a class, Harry Potter Magic and Religion.
I thought you were going to say Star Trek, in which I was going to re-enroll and go to Missouri. I was totally down for that. I'm disappointed you haven't named a certain class yet, but keep going.
Tennessee has UT Appalachian Strings. Must be music. I'd take that. That sounds not bad. LSU, Vampires in Film and TV. That's pretty much the ones that stand out.
I'm just really disappointed that there is not an underwater basket weaving. Because that, for those of you that haven't heard that before, like it's an old joke. My dad used it all the time of... Football players got to take, you know, BS classes, underwater basket weaving being one of them.
That's right.
Or basket weaving.
Michael Madison says, they use Waffle House closings to measure how bad natural disasters are. Ooh, Michael, thank you.
Yeah.
They use Waffle House closings to measure how bad natural disasters are.
That is probably a good thing.
Right? Oh, you guys are great.
Cam, you need to hurry up. We got celebrity birthdays coming. We need to get into that.
Fun fact, Gallaudet University School for the Deaf started what we know as the Huddle in 1894. They did this to keep specifically other deaf teams from knowing their plays before the snap because they have to use sign language. Thank you, Justin Strickland.
Now that makes total sense.
Justin, thank you for that. That's pretty cool.
So a deaf team created the huddle.
I'm telling you, man. The Chase and Big Joe show, although it's embarrassing, and it is on YouTube, Some days,
we're talentless losers.
We're talent losers. Some days you might learn something on this show if you play your cards right.
A guy called in talking about that, the deaf football team, that they would hit a snare drum or a bass drum. Yeah, exactly, Adam. They hit a snare drum or a bass drum, and they'd hear the vibration, or they feel the vibration, and that's when they knew to go.
Huh.
Wow.
That's what he told me on the phone.
Totally fascinated. We have the best listeners. I'm telling you, we have the best listeners. You guys are wonderful. Thank you. I mean, where else do you get Waffle House knowledge? Where the snap, where the huddle came from, the bass drum. My goodness. I mean, I'm at a loss for words. Evidently, so is Cam Ward, because he's not talking.
I mean, my thing is just don't put a time.
Right.
Just say he'll talk after practice.
Oh, man. I'll talk when
he'll talk when he gets there.
Hey, how about that Phyllis Diller? Ain't she something?
I will not be surprised if he goes at 3 o'clock or 3:15.
And then breaks like some great story, and then DVD has it. I'm telling you. Let's see. Bud Adams died at like 9:04. We get off the air like at 9 o'clock.
Yep.
There was another. Oh, George Jones. He died like at 9:01. We got off the air at 9.
Mine was Shea Weber got traded for P.K. Subban at 2:54.
Right for the break? Right into the show?
The next show. Because I look at the guy, Darren and Derek, and I'm like, well, Shea Weber just got traded. And they're like, huh?
Where were you when I texted you about John Robinson? Were you on the air?
I was sitting right in this seat.
Right? Isn't that crazy?
And, like, literally, as you text me, I'm like, okay, so here's a funny story. So we know that I can get a little distracted sometimes, like, with, you know, on the computer or whatever. Yeah. And so you text me that. Cam Ward's up. I'll tell this later.
Help the offensive line out when you're under duress.
I would say just continue to get through progressions faster, especially backside. Moving on from my first three pre-snap, then just giving my guys a chance because we won, especially Ellie and Rhea, they won a lot of the backside routes that I didn't get to where I had to step up. Then just really getting better in the pocket, moving within the pocket, keeping a short stride, getting the ball out.
I think they officially timed it on a touchdown pass at Jim Ball for over 8 seconds. What did it feel like during that time? And, you know, maybe when you look back at it, it's pretty hard to believe that you held on the ball for 8 seconds and were still able to get a pass on it.
Oh, nah. It's something I've done before in my career. I think the best thing about it is that just the receivers and the O-line, they continue to play outside of it. Especially receivers just running around the back of the end zone, finding space, and they give me the opportunity to throw it to Elliot. But that's something we practiced scrum drill, and it came to life in the game.
That play, Cam, though, is that an example of you still being able to do what it is you want to do out there in the afternoon when you were in college?
I think so. I think the biggest difference from college to NFL is just the rush in the pocket. Whether it's from the D tackles or the defensive end, it gets there faster in the college. But at the end of the day, you can make the same out of plays.
What do you feel like the team has made the biggest strides from week one to week two? And maybe what are some areas that got to go to another level for you guys to start scoring more and winning games?
I think attention to detail, getting in and out of huddle as fast. And I also think just the overall urgency has to continue to go up each week. And then just emphasize scoring the football, not settling for field goals. They just continue playing together.
What's the biggest thing that needs to change for you guys to finish strong in the second half and in the fourth quarter?
I just think we got to continue to play hard. At times, whether it's a low first or in the end of the game, whatever quarter it is, you know, there could be a low there, but we just got to continue to fight through it. And that's something that, you know, a coach can't coach you. You got to come within the locker room. We just got to continue to get better.
What are some of the things that stand out to you when you look at the Colts defense?
I think they play real hard, especially their defensive front. I think their DB core is solid. I think they know how to play well together. I just think overall defensively, you know, their DC, he's going to put those guys in good situations. So, you know, we got to end up making plays on the perimeter, making plays in the run game, and, you know, continue to stay on schedule.
Callahan had mentioned that green light that you have, you know, if Ellis is out there one-on-one, the safety shaded over, et cetera. Like, how much do you like being able to have control or orchestrate a big play like that?
I like it a lot because it simplifies the game. At the end of the day, you can always take a one-on-one matchup. It's just really your guy versus their guy, and our guy got to win at the end of the day. So Me and him going to continue to connect on plays like that. He reps those plays every day in practice. He knows what releases he loves doing. So he makes my job easier.
Knowing how much you do like to get vertical like that, you know, there were a few times a lock that may have been open underneath and things like that. Like, is it tough to come off that vertical desire and go to some of those checkdowns sometimes?
No, it's not tough coming off of it. I think it's just more realizing faster, whether it's the coverage or whether if the DB's playing so over the top of the receiver, you got to get through it faster. And so I just think just over time, the more we rep a play, the more, you know, install we have on the plays, just continue to get better for me.
I know there are throwaways and drops that factor in, but when you see a completion percentage just a touch north of 50, does that concern you? And are you conscious of that number at all? You have a target or anything like that?
Nah, I really don't care about completion percentage. I want to score touchdowns. I want to win football games. We 0-2. And so, you know, we just got to continue to stick to the process. We have to get a win this week in the divisional game that matters a lot. You know, just try to, you know, get the foot rolling.
Cam, how would you say you are embracing the divisional opener just in general, but also with it being against the Colts who are playing so well?
I embrace it a lot. The team embraces it. We know every divisional game, you know, that's where the best football has to be played, both sides of the ball. So we know the stakes of this game. But at the end of the day, we just got to continue to play good football for four quarters. We can't, you know, just play for good for three quarters. We got to continue to play the whole game.
How much did you know, Cam, about Alex's style of play way back when he was drafted, you know, with you? How much did you know about that? And what have you learned about it since we've learned about his style?
I knew a lot of him, especially him being in Pac-12 at Stanford. I got a chance to play against him a couple times. But he's always been a physical receiver who's good at 50-50 balls, who can win off the press man with his releases. I think he doesn't give enough credit for how fast he is and how supposed to be is. So it's good that, you know, we were able to steal him. He's going to continue to make plays for us. But he for sure makes my job easier.
Brian brought up how comfortable you are giving feedback and receiving feedback from the coaching staff as you kind of figure out what works and what doesn't. How valuable have the games been to kind of determining that as far as the playbook versus what you guys may have seen out here practice?
It's made easier, especially with Cali giving me that authority, whether I like a play or I don't like a play, where I want to cut it throughout the week or if I want to leave it. But I think the best thing about it that, you know, he's allowing me to every game just get more free and more free. He's opening up for me. He's making me see it from not only my point of view, but the whole perspective point of view, especially the play caller's point of view, his point of view. They also just continue to, you know, put the ball in space, let my guys make plays.
What's the biggest key for the guys to extend drives this week, get into the end zone more than you have, and how can you influence the offense?
I would say where we're not the best at right now is probably once we hit midfield. It could be a load there or before we get to the red zone. I think that's the more we got to emphasize, bringing our best ball, bringing more urgency right there. Just got to continue to, you know, try to gain explosives in the run game and the pass game.
Do you feel like your teammates are matching your mentality, your intensity? Is that something you have to teach them to do, or is that something kind of – just want to see them come to on their own time?
Everybody has their own mentality. As a team, we have our own mentality. But I think the biggest thing is, like, we grown men. We don't really need someone to motivate us every day. We know what we signed up for. We just got to, you know, lock in four quarters. We try to do that this week, try to get our first win.
Brian said that, you know, your eyes usually are always downfield, even as you're moving in the pocket to try and create a play down the field. Do you feel like, though, that with this offense kind of struggling, maybe you're going to have to take off and use your legs a little bit more, maybe just to move the chains and give the team a spark?
I think we average 4 yards a run, so I don't think I have to really run that much. I'll say just really key situations or a certain coverage they play where I have to run and get a first down. But the scheme just allows us all to, you know, play within our talents. I'm not too worried about that.
Divorced Buckner's length,
you know,
his interior
length
is about
6'6". He's different, especially, you know, what he's done in his career. He made sure that, you know, he tries to get his one-on-ones. But he's someone that you have to get the ball out, you know, fast against. Don't give him a chance to get started. And they really try to continue to play on schedule.
What adjustments can you make to kind of better protect the ball in the pocket? Obviously, you don't want to fumble like you had in the fourth quarter. Last game on Sunday, what adjustments do you think you can make there in that front?
Just keeping two hands on the ball, Just always knowing where my outlet is and, you know, trying to get grass in a new stadium.
Who ended up with that football run from the first touchdown pass? What are you going to do with it?
I don't know yet. We're gonna see about that one. Me and Ellie still got to talk.
You're still talking about it? Okay. He seemed like he was deferring to you, but
me and him still got to talk about it. You know, I'm trying to get him a second one this week.
Callahan said he wanted to see more continuity up front. How have you kind of adjusted to what seems to be a little bit of plug and play, especially on that right side?
I think it's really my job helping him, especially with just the knowing why Coach Callahan's calling this certain play. And then also understanding the protection standpoint of it, and then just giving my guys a chance to make a play, getting it out fast, and just helping them out. Especially last week, I took a couple bad sacks when the ball should have been out. But that's just something that, you know, I'm learning every day, playing with new guys, especially like you said, when you rotate offensive linemen, then just, you know, helping those guys out.
Have you mentioned the new drafts to anyone in particular, or is that just some kind of a joke?
Oh, no, I ain't mentioning yet. It'll get mentioned eventually. But, I mean, we practice on grass. Why we don't play on grass?
Last one, Court. This is Florida-Miami week. That was obviously a big week for you. You only got to play it one time, but your feelings on that memory and that rivalry?
That rivalry was, especially when I was there, it was way better than the Florida State rivalry. Florida rivalry was way better than that one. But I think – You know what Miami doing this year, especially offensively. Them boys, they still making plays out there. Carson have a hell of a year right now. And then defensively, them boys flying around. They playing together. But, I mean, we see which way Miami going. I think we all know where this game finna go. They got to come to Hard Rock, so it ain't easy to win over there at Hard Rock. Appreciate it.
That's Cam Ward, Titans quarterback, addressing the media today ahead of the Colts game. Coming up on Sunday. We'll come back and wrap that up and give you celebrity birthdays. And what day is it? Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. Chasing Big Joe, 102.5 The Game here on this Wednesday. And we Cam kind of being late did take a little bit of time. So we usually would do what day is it in celebrity birthdays. We got to turn things over to DVD coming up next. Celebrity birthdays brought to you by Jarrett Companies, Inc. Jarrett Fire Division covers all of your business's fire safety needs. Go to jarrettfire.com, above and beyond industry standards. Give us one.
One birthday?
One birthday.
How old is Phil Jackson today? Bills, the Bulls coach.
Phil Jackson, 77.
82.
80. Nick, you win. Good job.
Good job. There you go. Let's hit the mashup real quick.
Because we're talking about breakdowns.
Yeah, it's embarrassing.
It is embarrassing, but you know what?
You're wasting time.
Learn to love it because it's the best thing going today.
That's right.
Woo!
Keep the responses coming. We'll talk throughout the show about worst place you've been broken down. Speaking of broken down.
Bill Clinton.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I did not have. Okay. All right, good. Nice job. Talk's a big game, but he's soft.
Yeah. Where's some of that?
Yep. Big time.
Anyway. Cam Ward will. I don't know where to go from that. But
I think that's a good point, Bob. Don't go anywhere, Bob. Bob, damn it. I think that.
I kind of want to know what it's been like going into that first week compared to now going into week three. Like,
okay.
How much has that slowed down for him? You know, does it feel the same? Is it now becoming more routine? Like, what's kind of the thought process he's going through as a quarterback?
I hope he gets asked about the Hunter comment.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, are you giving up the easy pass?
Analogy.
I'm hungry.
Singles win ball games too.
That's right.
Now, if the pitcher puts it right down the middle, then hell yeah. You swing for the fences. And if you miss it, you miss it. But, well, like, if they throw you... What's the old saying, like, if he hang it, I bang it, or something like that? I mean, that.
Good Lord, this is a family show.
Not like that, damn it.
How in the world? Where is your mom listening?
No, she's teaching.
I hope
Dr.
not.
Crane just left. Like, he just left.
I don't blame him. This
you know
is
what I'm trying
unacceptable.
To say.
Unacceptable. Nope. Not happening. Thanks again, Ran.
Oh, great, great job, Dr. Crane. That is going to do it for us today. DVD coming up next.
As we always leave the show to our guys out there, if you are struggling, need to talk to somebody on your cell phone, you can dial 988 or you can go to thegamenashville.com. Click on the Chase and Big Joe Show. We have a link there to Unity Psychiatric Care, professional, affordable help for you in our world. Look, I tell you all the time, our world is a better place because you are here. Please know that. Please believe that. Know that we love you. More importantly, more than anything else in this world, God loves you.
Amen to that. Peace, love, rock and roll. Dan Orlovsky joins DVD at 3:20 here at 102.5 The Game.